Mungo McCallum has spent a lifetime as a political journalist. Since the 70s, he's been a fearless commentator on all issues. His latest book, though, is about food. In it, he also is fearless in attacking many current food fads and general political correctness about food. He also shares his favourite recipes.
Well, partly it's because the political scene at the moment is so dire. You know, that really gives me indigestion, writing about politics. So having done 8 political books, I thought, well, it's time for a change anyway, and I've got a few things I'd quite like to write about food, so I swung in towards food.
It's sort of like my life through food, isn't it? So has food always been a part of your life? Apart from having to eat it.
Well, yes, I think it's a part of most people's lives in a sense. Cooking started, I suppose, as a necessity when I was broken batching, as it does to most young men. But I found I actually enjoyed it and actually enjoyed the experimentation that went with it.
Let's go back through your life through food, and when you were batching, what were you eating in those days and how much have you changed since then?
Well, in the early days, of course, I was a war baby. I was brought up in the last days of the Second World War and in post-war rationing times when I was in my sort of childhood and adolescence. And that has meant that it was a pretty ordinary diet in those days. It was very much meat and 3 veg and, you know, stewed fruit and maybe custard for pudding if there was pudding. It wasn't exactly exciting cooking. And then, of course, as time went on and the post-war migrant boom came in, food in Australia changed and everybody started to experiment. And I like to think I was one who did particularly, partly driven by poverty. I mean, in those days, those early days after leaving school and leaving university, I was very broke indeed. And so you had to eat what you could find. And in my district, there was a slightly shonky butcher who sold very cheap offal of all descriptions and also illegal horse meat, which was also very cheap. So one existed on some. You experimented with those and found ways of making them delicious and edible.
You've ended up in Byron Bay, and you clearly love meat. That comes through in every page of this book, and you've certainly come up with some delicious ways to cook various staple meats. But in Byron, you came across, obviously, a great deal of dietary issues, vegetarianism, things like that. And you've got a fair bit to say about those things too, particularly tofu.
Particularly tofu, the ultimate fake food. I mean, I can't understand why tofu has made it so big in restaurants. I mean, even in 5-star restaurants with the dégustation, which oddly enough does not mean disgusting, menus, you get tofu featuring. I mean, tofu is literally pig swill. It's what's left over when you extract the goodness from soybeans.
And yet you're living in what must be tofu central of Australia in Byron Bay. You must have it served to you quite often.
Certainly, there is. Byron Bay is tofu capital, and it's also food fad capital of all sorts of strange and interesting things.
You also tell a really funny story in the book about someone who was actually in court for eating platypus, was it?
Platypus was the charge, yes. One of the crusty ferals from up in the hills behind Mullumbimby was hauled into the magistrate's court and charged with eating a platypus, and was in fact pleaded guilty and was convicted. But the magistrate couldn't avoid asking as he was let off, oh, incidentally, what did it taste like? And the feral replied calmly, oh, it was about halfway between koala and dolphin. I can't swear to it, but it's a great story.
You must get yourself in quite a few interesting dinner table arguments, I imagine, in that part of the world.
Yes, I think we do. I mean, that's one of the problems, of course, that you've got to be able to find a dinner table where, A, you can get something decent to eat, which isn't tofu and which isn't peace, love and brown rice, which is the staple of the area. Also, where people are prepared to talk about it. But you find that most of these food fadders take themselves terribly seriously. They're terribly self-righteous about it and impervious to either taste or reason.
So what would you like people to take away from reading your book?
Take away, please, be adventurous, be enterprising. I mean, there are a lot of recipes in that book, but they're really only suggestions. There's a place to start. Improvise, you know, a swing, and enjoy it. Don't take food too seriously, but don't take it too lightly either. It's an important part of life. It's a good part of life. Make it interesting and enjoyable while you can.